right. Welcome, everyone, to the first edition of Where's That Tiger podcast. We're going to be inviting former LSU letter winners back to talk about where they are now, whether that's still in the boot or somewhere new. My name is Leanne Westfall, and I'm joined with one of the LSU greats himself, Justin Vincent, and we'll be your hosts.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to getting an opportunity to share some stories of flashbacks and where are they now with former Tiger greats. And our first guest up today is going to be Jordan Jefferson.
Thanks for joining us, Jordan.
I appreciate the invite. Obviously, it's always a pleasure to join on and speak, you know, with some friends and also talk about some old stories that we all enjoyed during our college days. I feel like our college days were our best moments in life. So I'm always open to discuss those times and also what I'm doing currently.
I love that. So you were back home at LSU this past weekend. We celebrated the 10th anniversary, well, really the 11th anniversary of the 2011 SEC Championship team. So what was it like being back with your teammates and back here in Baton Rouge?
It was great. I haven't been to too many games since my brother left LSU. So it was good to finally come back and go to a game and be in that environment again. Also good to connect, you know, with some of my fellow teammates that now have wives, that now have children. So to see people grow from 18, 19 years old to now be, you know, 32, 33 years old with the family is a beautiful sight to see. So I had a great time, enjoyed myself, and obviously the Tigers got a victory. So the weekend was a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, man, it's pretty interesting, right? Because you know, like you see somebody like Josh Jurasik or Wilford or anybody like that, and it seems like all the offensive linemen have shrunken and all your skill players have grown. And it was it's pretty interesting to see, man, because, you know, that's kind of how they maintain their bodies throughout the year, right? Through the season, through the grind, you know, they got to eat to maintain, get a certain amount of calories. And now that they're not playing this physical game we call football, you see how guys' bodies have changed tremendously. And obviously they've grown into, you know, whether they're in med sales, insurance, or lawyers or whatever it may be. But it's just so interesting to see the dynamics of body changing once your playing days are over.
I mean, absolutely, man. I mean, to prepare yourself to get ready for SEC play is different. You know, when you talk about muscle mass and, you know, taking on so many calories, thousands of calories a day, and just burning off a lot of calories, you know, our body has slowed down so much ever since we started playing. So even for myself, I try to stay some form of physical or have some form of exercise, but there is no way to match, you know, my body type that I was in college. I felt like we all probably was in our best shape. Well, I should say for myself, but, you know, to see those bigger guys slim down is definitely interesting to see. I always felt like at some point in time, they were skinny guys and then eventually grow into bigger guys throughout time, throughout high school, throughout college.
Yeah, man, that's pretty cool. I wanted to kind of touch bases on your journey to LSU. What led you to get to play for the LSU Tigers? Even though they're only about an hour and some change down the road from you and Destrehan, I just wanted to know, you know, being a top 10, you know, rivals quarterback, pro style, you know, leading your team to 21-0 as a starter at your high school. And I'm pretty sure you had just about every school in the country clamoring for you to come to see them and play with them. But what made you come to LSU?
Man, my process was very interesting. I feel like my final statistics of high school, you know, was my final result. But throughout my process, man, it was very challenging for me to be notarized or to even get that opportunity to play at LSU, because coming from a school like Destrehan, we don't necessarily play too many guys within that freshman or sophomore year. So, you know, I was, you know, kind of like on the JV team at the time, and our starting quarterback was Jai Eugene. That year, which he was the number one player in the state, top five in the country. So my opportunity to play was very slim, standing behind him, but it gave me the ability to learn. Well, when I started my junior year, I only really played four games because I had a broken wrist from a John Eric game with Drake Nevers. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to miss basically my full junior season. I also had scaphoid fractures in my wrist that allowed me to have wrist surgeries on both of my hands. So my recruiting process was very slow. It was very dull at times. I really had to, you know, look myself in the mirror my junior year and really tell myself to go get it, because I was being overlooked. I was being over-recruited in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of people were notified to be better than me because I really didn't have too much film. You know, and I was at the time of the back end stages of DVD. So to kind of expose yourself or bring awareness to your style of play, it was very hard for me. So going into my senior year, I just went to a lot of camps, you know, with football cast on. And I was a guy that was, you know, who is this kid with this cast on his hand that's throwing the ball the way that he did? So going into my senior year, it gradually built up to being nationally notarized, but it was very challenging for me. And I had to really just stay committed, walk by faith with the process, and just go to a lot of camps, me and my dad, just to put myself out there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I also, you're talking about the back end of a DVD. I mean, hell, with me, it was VHS. So I can totally understand. I had to go to every single camp possible. But yeah, man, that's pretty interesting. Obviously, once you get here, you know, you kind of get, per se, thrusted into action. You know, you splitting time with Jared Lee and some other folks. You know, you end up being the 2008 MVP of the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You know, that was pretty amazing game against North Carolina. You know, in your LSU career, you know, 4,700 passing yards, 34 TDs. You know, obviously everybody's career didn't get topped off the way you like it. You know, not finishing up in the national championship game and not handling business. But all in all, you know, for me as an outsider looking in and somebody who was, you know, part of football is on the staff as well, it was amazing to watch, man. You know, obviously, you know, things, like I said, didn't go the way you planned it to go. But as far as having a stellar career, I think you absolutely did that.
Yeah, man, I put a lot into it, man. And obviously, I would have liked things to go a lot differently. You know, but being a quarterback for that school, and to be honest with you, being a minority quarterback for LSU is very, very challenging. You know, that's something that's not easy. It's a big responsibility. It's a lot of pressure. And I felt like, you know, my leadership style and how I was able to handle that on a very professional level. Obviously, I experienced a lot of adversity, which, you know, was a great transformational experience for me to be able to grow as a man and really understand the dynamics of life, because athletes are so removed from a lot of the real realities in life. And I was able to experience some of those realities as a quarterback. And obviously, I had great experiences, great times playing against a lot of national talent. You know, I was able to acquire a lot of great relationships, not only at LSU, just within the SEC in general, just eventually gravitating towards guys and meeting them throughout the course, if it's at the combine or if it's actually with another team, or even if it's in other forms of business like coaching that I gradually got into once I was done playing. So it definitely gave me an opportunity to grow, to learn, and to network with a lot of great people.
So you talked a little bit about your leadership style and the adversity and even the networking that you learned as a LSU football player. So let's get to where you are now. Tell us a little bit about your career post the glory days in Tiger Stadium, and post even coaching.
Well, you know, when I was done LSU, obviously everybody wanted to go to the NFL, but that wasn't in, you know, my reality. And the grace of God gave me the path of becoming a coach. So when I was done playing, the first thing that I did was go down to Destrehan High School, and I started my coaching career, which gave me 2 years to actually work with Justin. So I was able to, you know, pour in a lot of information and knowledge to him with, honestly, his first year of becoming a receiver. His junior year was second year of becoming a receiver into his junior year. And I was able to give a lot of knowledge and information to a lot of kids within my community, which made me feel great. I enjoyed it, just being around the game. And I didn't necessarily know that I would have enjoyed it at that space. Well, I moved on to going to University of Houston, where I got my master's degree and I pursued coaching. I was under Major Applewhite. Great experiences, but also experienced some adversity on the coaching side with the coaching staff getting fired. I also moved on to getting a great opportunity with working at Colorado State with the wide receivers under Mike Bobo. That entire staff was SEC. So within my time of coaching, which that probably lasts about 7 to 8 years, that was a great experience for me to work with a lot of guys, to share a lot of information that I learned as a player, and to just see them grow and gravitate into their own plans and platforms and journeys after college. Well, my last year of coaching was technically Justin's first year within the NFL. And obviously, I experienced a lot of adversity finding a coaching job because my staff had just got fired. I had a great conversation with my family, and I became basically my brother's manager, my sports manager. And within that space, I was handling a lot of his branding, his marketing, his investment portfolio, and also his foundation. So I was doing that for about a year full time within his rookie season. And then that gradually gave me an opportunity to work with a company by the name of WME, which is a sports and entertainment agency. So I've now grown into the space of being an agent.
That's awesome. You touched on branding, marketing, investment. So those are all things that our student athletes now are having to deal with and we're trying to educate them on. If you had one piece of advice, something that when you were a student athlete, you would have loved to know in those three things, what would that be?
Really just common knowledge about the business, common knowledge about the process. I feel like being so young, you're not exposed to various forms of information, and really just having the opportunity to be open-minded and listen to some of this information. When I was in school, it was there, but it was there in a different form. I feel like now they have so much information that's presented in front of them. And also, you know, the NIL space has created so much more conversation about being financially literate a lot earlier than what you would when you receive your first NFL contract. So, you know, those conversations are now being introduced a lot earlier. So for me, it was just being open-minded to information, really gravitating towards somebody that I could see as a mentor that is able to give me organic information in this space.
Right. Justin and I have talked about that before.
Yeah, of course. I kind of want to pivot back because when you guys were in school, as far as yourself and Rick, I remember, you know, your dad, Mr. John, and your mom, they would bring down Justin every week to come to the game as a recruit. And I'm standing in the lounge, the Lawton room, and I was checking people in and greeting them at the door. And I'll never forget a conversation I had with Rick. Rick was like, yeah, man, obviously we're pretty good. I mean, you know, obviously my brother's good, I'm pretty good. But he's like, this dude right here. And he was small at the time. And super small. And he was like, this dude right here, I promise you, he's going to be way better than us. I'm telling you. He's like, I never say it to his face. He said, but I'm telling you that he's going to be better than us, talking about Justin. And obviously, we saw the product that he put on the field here as a Tiger. And you see the talents he's showcasing on Sundays today. And for me, somebody who has seen him up close and personal since he was a little bitty dude, I'm super amazed, man. It's like one of those things, you see people transform in front of your eyes and you can't believe it, even though you know it's real. It's such an amazing process, man, for me to witness, and obviously for you guys as well.
Absolutely, man. Third time is always a charm. And for him, you know, he had a lot of advantages growing up, just being in the locker room, you know, coming to the football games, coming to the camps, just, you know, being at spring football and seeing some of the most, like, if you really think about it, he saw the most glamorous times of being in the SEC ever, from 2008 all the way really to his time of 2020. The SEC has won numerous championships, has saw numerous first rounders, numerous All-Americans. And for him, he was able to sit in the stands and watch it and see everything. You know, he saw a young Julio Jones. He saw a young A.J. Green. You know, he saw a young Patrick Peterson, a young Odell, a young Jarvis. So for him to build these relationships with these guys, actually see these things and, you know, have his older brothers around to share information, to help him, to advise him, to shape his mind and see perspectives a lot differently, he had an advantage that he was able to kind of expose to the world that, hey, with this knowledge, this is what I'm able to do. So within the space that I'm in now of understanding the theory on how this information can gravitate a player to their success, you know, that's the type of things that we like to be a part of. Justin's been very coachable, been very open-minded. I mean, even when he didn't want to do things, he was always open-minded to doing it. You know, I spent a lot of time with him right after high school, you know, just doing extra work after practice, you know, teaching him how to do releases, in and out of breaks, really studying film, sitting down, teaching him coverages. And that's an advantage to have as an older shepherd. You know, I didn't necessarily have that form of information, that connection. I had to learn it on my own. So for him, I was giving it to him at 8, 9, 10, 14, 15, 16. So he has had a great support system of people that are able to pour into him. And you can kind of see the luxuries of that experience now.
That's awesome.
You were talking about coaching and how you've been coaching your brother, and you were a coach, and I think even in your career now you have that ability to coach athletes. So who was a coach that impacted you? How did you learn how to be a coach like this?
I mean, you know, my coaches at LSU had a great impact on me. I think my biggest impact was Steve Kragthorpe into my life. Going into my senior year. And he just had a different coaching style that, you know, in my honesty, as a minority quarterback, I appreciate. I'm the only minority quarterback in my room. And there were various times beforehand to where meetings used to start without me, or I'm being withheld from information because maybe other coaches would prefer to see somebody else starting over me. And Steve Kragthorpe had faith in me. He believed in me. He believed in my talent. And he used to have this kind of he was like an uncle to me or something. You know, that style, I appreciate it. I also appreciated Cam Cameron. Cam Cameron really embraced me when he got to LSU. I appreciated Les Miles and believing in me and a lot of opportunities. I had a lot of high school coaches that played a very important role, like Steve Robichaux. I had some little league coaches that definitely bought into me. My parents were probably my most and my biggest supporters and people that I appreciated throughout the course, because even when I had things going on with coaches, I gravitated towards my father. And my father was able to explain to me how this business works or how to operate within those spaces. So I had great experiences with coaches and I had not so great experiences, which gave me the notion that I can be successful in this space of being a former player that's willing to share organic information and to just be present. You know, it was times as a coach to where I would take phone calls at 1:30 in the morning because a relative passed or somebody got in an accident, and just being there, showing care, showing nurturing, or really being a mentor in one situation, just explaining them how life works, how the journey works, how the business works. So I appreciated my time of pouring into others because so many people poured into me.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man, because, like, I think for me, I've always had those one or two coaches that have nurtured you and kind of wrapped their arms around you, made you feel like you had a father away from home, or per se an uncle. I think, you know, for me, I had a coach a long time ago in high school. I kind of got in trouble a little bit. It wasn't nothing crazy. But he was like, man, look, if you want to ever be successful in life, you got to make the people around you fall in love with you. And till this day, I tell my kids that. I tell kids that I meet, you know, you have got to buy into what they're selling, because you can off top tell this day and age, who genuinely cares for you and who's faking it? You're right. Mm-hmm. And so those who fake it, they'll fall by the wayside. And those who actually care, you'll buy into what they're selling, and then you'll retain some of the information that you could pass on to others, like with your coaching career or to your brothers or whatever it may be. Or one day when you have kids, all those things I'll go beyond football. And that's the one thing that I think that is pure and that I enjoy the most.
Absolutely, man. I was able to have those experiences as a player, which was great. Being able to go through adversity and know how to overcome, and being able to share stories, to share journeys. You know, I'm able to kind of give a very relatable sense to what, you know, my brother or players are going through currently. So it worked for me in a lot of ways. And, you know, I had goals and aspirations to be a head coach and offensive coordinator and, you know, really change the game of football down in the South. But, you know, my course changed. You know, things came up for me, better opportunities came for me, and that's what I take. But I can say that form of giving back, that form of fellowship, mentorship, I feel like even if I'm not coaching, even in my agent space, I still maintain the same type of platform when it comes to working with my guys, because, you know, in the agent space, I still build a roster. I still mentor and coach guys, not only through football, but I do in life, you know, or I do within the business space. So it's still a form of coaching for me, just a more of an addition with football. It now is as life and business and, you know, a retirement plan.
That's great. You know, we could probably talk to you forever, share stories and hear more and more. But Jordan, I want to thank you for sharing just where you are now. Thanks for being a part of the Tiger family. We love to say once a Tiger, always a Tiger, and sharing about where that Tiger is now.
Thank you, man, for joining us this morning. We look forward to seeing you in the near future, man, and go Tigers.
Absolutely. I appreciate being invited. This is obviously a great platform to come back and network and politic with you all. I always have great experiences coming back to town. And once again, go Tiger.
Definitely, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it.